And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
When did the image of success become so shallow and cookie cutter? It's carefree entrepreneurship, sprawling homes, and curated aesthetics, all wrapped up in a simplified social media post rife with the latest buzzwords explaining how you're just one manifestation away from the life of your dreams. But building thriving businesses and positioning yourself as a leader in any industry has little to do with hitting these external validations and everything to do with cutting through the crap and getting to work. My name is James Patrick, and I'm an internationally published photographer, marketing strategist, and your host in this discussion. I've spent decades studying the mechanics of success so I could reverse engineer the process. Together, let's specifically define what success means to you and determine the steps to get you there. With real strategies, exclusive interviews, and game-changing ideas you can implement into your life and business, it's time to go beyond the facade, beyond the posturing, beyond the image to create real change personally and professionally. This is the Beyond the Image podcast. My guest today, returning back to the podcast, is Angela Gargano. Angela, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you connecting in from?
I'm actually now in Austin, Texas.
You were in New York for a while, weren't you?
I was in New York City for about 2 years through the pandemic, and then I wound up selling everything I owned and traveling the world, and now I made my home base here in Austin.
There are absolutely worse places to be. That's really cool. You really rose into like so many people's ecosystems, particularly over 2020. Like, I mean, obviously you had several TV appearances, but it seemed like the last few years you really capitalized so much on anything that was built for you and then took it even further. I've noticed that you've really managed to remain your brand in the lexicon. You still pop up a lot. You're still seen quite a bit, which is one, congratulations for that. But it's nice to see, because so many people will have, you know, kind of that flash in the pan. You know, they get their, you know, the cliche, their 5 minutes of success, but you didn't seem to want to let it just be 5 minutes. You really wanted to command it to be something more. I'm curious, like, what was your thought process as you were kind of navigating your own brand over the last few years?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really great question. I mean, I definitely think that a lot of everything at first stemmed from those fitness competitions I was doing. So that's when I started getting familiar with different platforms like Oxygen Magazine and, you know, Women's Health and things along those lines, Strong Fitness Magazine. And then after that, went into American Ninja Warrior. And then I had obviously a big moment with that. But I think what's interesting is that as all that's happened, it's definitely evolved. Like, everything's evolved for me. At first, it was about, when you're doing the fitness competitions, I just want to be in the magazine, kind of just to be in the magazine, which is great. But now as I've evolved, I've realized that I can create a bigger impact and that I could reach more people and really help them along their journeys. So I think what really keeps me pushing in the game is knowing that a lot of the things that I've been through, a lot of things that I push for, is what other people are also trying to do and trying to help them along the journey. It's like almost like I'm that voice I wish that I had when I was younger to tell me to keep going, to tell me that these things are possible for you. So I think I always have that drive to be like, you know, here I am, see me, I have impact that I know I can bring to people. So I think that having that inner confidence is really important. And I also feel like there's been a lot of times throughout the journey where I've been rejected and turned down from so many things. And the drive of the rejection for me is like, no, you will see me. I'm going to show you that I do have this potential in me, I think has definitely really pushed me to keep going. So it's definitely a mixture of things, but it's definitely, again, evolved and changed from the first time that I'd been a part of this world. It's definitely much more about helping and, you know, bringing what I can to others in order to help them achieve their goals instead of it being about me.
I'd be curious for you to chat a little bit through rejection, because it's so easy for an outsider to look at what you do and chalk it up to, well, maybe it's talent or skill or luck, or, you know, she's already had her big break, so, you know, things are going to come easy for her from this point moving forward, right? But yet you're still faced with rejection despite past success. How do you kind of navigate that, just understanding that most people have a misperception that it could be as equally hard for you to pursue your goals and what you're striving for as anyone else?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of people think no is a no, but I think a no for me is a not, maybe not right now. And that's why I always keep coming back for more. And I think what really keeps pushing me, what allows me to keep, you know, go past the rejection is the fact that I'm super resilient. And just, I'll give you a couple examples of things that literally took forever. One of the things was I wanted to be on the cover of Oxygen magazine. I remember sending in my vision board with me photoshopped on the cover of the magazine. I swear to you, I sent this into her. I sent it to every single email that I could find in the oxygenmagazine.com page. I sent it to everybody, accounting at oxygenmagazine.com. I mean, you name it, I sent it in. I'm like, it might get in the front of those right people. I didn't hear from anybody for a couple months. And in my head, I was like, all right, whatever. And then I had marked in my calendar that I was going to just follow up. So I followed up constantly over and over and over again. And literally, I think it was about 6 months later, I finally got a message back from somebody. And they said, oh, you're in Rhode Island. I'm actually in Connecticut. I'm going to need someone to shoot. Are you willing to come on in? And obviously, I was like, it's a yes, I'm going to come in. But think about it, that took 6 months of me constantly being resilient. And then same exact thing had happened many times with the other magazines. And I think realizing that everybody in this industry is human, they might be going through human things. You might send in your request to do something and they may not see it. So you got to make sure you follow up. If someone says no to you, again, I always look at it as it's a not right now. And then I do whatever I can to show them why that I would be beneficial to be a part of their brand or be a part of their vision. And I do not stop. I keep going. I keep messaging. I got rejected, from Oxygen magazine so many times. That was 2016 or something I sent that in. I didn't get an actual cover until 2021. Just to put me in perspective on getting no all so many times. I literally asked every year too. I'm like, I want a cover. Literally got a no every single year from 2016 until finally in 2021, I was able to get on the cover. And yeah, I still get rejected to this day. I had a hard time with working. I was able to work with Under Armour for a while. A lot of the people in there, I keep saying I want to do more and more and more with them. And I kept getting rejected. Oh, we don't have the budget right now. Oh, we're not able to do this right now. Oh, that's not the look we're going for right now. We're looking for this. And I just continue to show up. I put myself in front of their face wherever I can. And then I know that it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. But I think that people need to see that resiliency. This isn't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen the next day. If they say no, show them why it should be a yes. Like, really put yourself in front of them and make it happen.
Where do you think that resiliency comes from? Like, is that something that was innate in you, or is that something you had to cultivate and train in yourself?
Yeah, I think I probably had to train myself to get there. Because obviously you have to train yourself to be there, and you have to be so confident and sure of yourself and knowing that, no, I am meant to do this. I know that I need to be there to keep yourself pushing forward. If you immediately get a no and you're like, you're right, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm too muscular to be in this magazine, or I'm too this or too that, which is what people say to you all the time, then that's more of a belief in yourself that you need to change.
And when it comes to the application of persistence, you know, one of the things that you mentioned that I really appreciate was you were trying to focus on what you could do for them, that it wasn't about you, the value that you could offer them. Can you give examples of what that might look like for yourself or for someone who could be in a similar situation to where you were a couple of years ago?
Absolutely. Again, you always want to show them that you're going to provide something for them. I think so many people lead right away, especially if you're doing something like cold outreach, you just talk about yourself the whole time. Like, that's great. There's a million people who are probably doing similar things and things like that. You want to set yourself apart by saying, by first one, doing a ton of research on whatever it is, whether it be the brand, a brand, like you're trying to get a brand partnership, whether it be the magazine, do some research, go in on their magazine, check out what they're doing right now, check out what you think they might be able to do better and that maybe you can help them do it better. So I think that definitely do your research. Some of the things that I had brought up for Oxygen Magazine, for example, is that the first shoot like we did with them was, I was literally in the basement of a church, which is wild. And I could see right away that they were having issues finding good photographers, finding good models, finding even like makeup people. So where I allowed myself to be of help to them was like, hey, I know a bunch of great fitness people. I know great photographers. I know great makeup artists. Let me connect you with them and let me help you. And I became more than just, oh, I'm here to model and be a part of the magazine. I was like, no, I'm here to help you with, you know, with it all, to be all encompassing. With different brands like Women's Health, I went on their page. I went through their magazine stuff and I saw that they were lacking in a few areas, and I sent them in like, hey, it would be really great if you did this. This is why I know that I can help you with that. So really, again, taking the time to do that research and to putting it all together. And again, they might not, the first time you do that, they might be like, oh no, we're good, but do it again, follow up, keep following up. And again, showing them that there's a reason why they should have you in their ecosystem.
I think so much of it is, you know, more often than not, most people just don't hear anything. It's not that they hear no, they just might not get a response. And then the default assumption is, well, that must mean no. And not necessarily. In fact, not at all. Oftentimes the lack of response is just, we didn't see it, or not right now, or maybe in the future. Or, you know, I mean, there's a million, you know, reasons why someone might not respond to an email. But if we are always holding this posture that the answer no, or that a, you know, no response is the end of an opportunity, we're not going to have that many opportunities. And what I appreciate about your approach is your focus has been, let me look at this not just like one email is the ultimate goal, right? Or you know, this one pitch is going to be the thing that seals the deal. It's, I'm just going to keep applying and keep knocking on this door because I'm invested in this long-term commitment to establish something together. And I think having that focus of I'm in this for the long-term versus, you know, putting so much stake into a single email message or a single pitch, that I think is what helped you rise above so many others who maybe after one or two emails, they just stopped sending. But the fact that you were there consistently again and again and again, that right there shows your commitment to the goals. You know, if someone says, you know, and I poke fun at this a little bit, but if someone says, you know, it's been my lifelong dream to achieve XYZ. Well, if it's your lifelong dream and all it takes is you not getting a response to a single email, how important was that lifelong dream? If it's a lifelong dream, you're going to be sending a lot of emails. You're going to be picking up the phone. You're going to be getting on a plane and flying out to the offices of that company to meet with people face to face and shake their hands. That's what you do with the lifelong dream. You don't just send an email and then if you don't respond, just say, well, I guess I'll just go back to posting on Instagram. Like it requires so much more tenacity than that.
Absolutely. I love the way that you said that for sure. It's definitely, again, like you said, continuing to knock on that door, not letting the one rejection or the silence like deter you. Also getting again in the room of those same people. I mean, there's been so many times when I moved to New York City, my one thing I did when I went there was I was like, I'm going to go to every single class with the best trainers here in New York City and I'm going to let them just see and get to know me. And I just started having conversations with people in those classes. And it turned out, you know, this person does this and this person does that. And again, recognizing that all the people that you are reaching out to are human, right? So if you can connect with them on a human level as well, I think that establishes a better relationship. And then it allows you to have these doors open to do those other things.
Whereas the rest of America would say humans with an H. We can take you out of New York, but we can't take that East Coast out of your voice.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
How does this relate to... like, because obviously, like, you landed the cover of Oxygen, which looks awesome, by the way. Was that then a marketing tool for you, or were you already working on brand partnership deals? Or did the Oxygen cover help further validate your value as you're trying to market brand partnerships?
I think the cover definitely was, for me, it definitely showed that I had credentials and that I knew what I was doing type of thing. I know it sounds wild to say, but it's like, okay, she clearly is on a cover. So she like knows something, know what she's doing. So I definitely think it added value to when I did reach out to brand partnership. As for like return of investment of like actually getting on the cover, I mean, honestly, I don't think it really did as much as I thought it was going to do. I had to be more resilient in reaching out to more people and saying, hey, I just got on this cover and stuff like that in order for things to happen. So it goes back to the fact that, you know, people aren't going to see you unless you make them see you. So I definitely think it helped, but I had to put myself still out there to email and to reach out to those people. They didn't see me on the cover and then all of a sudden come to me. So you still need to take a lot of action. The same thing happened with American Ninja Warrior. It's like really cool, awesome that I've been on, you know, TV several times and on NBC several times, but I still had to do the outreach and do all those things in order for me to actually see results from it. So yeah, definitely helped with, okay, cool, she's somebody, like we you know, she's on the cover, that's amazing, but it didn't just change things. I still had to take action after that.
I think that's such a extremely important point that you made, which is this assumption that the cover, you know, we'll just use your Oxygen cover, that's the end goal, that once that happens, everything else just falls into place, that all future problems are solved, that you know, you could not want anything else after that. Everything is then just figured out, and truthfully, it becomes, as you said, it's a tool, but a tool requires that you use it. And as you've noticed, after 30 days of your cover of Oxygen, there was a new cover of Oxygen and someone else was on the cover, right? So you had this window of when you were on the newsstand and then someone else was on it, but it's up to you, entirely up to you, how you choose to manage that. Like, you can just let it sit there on the newsstand for 30 days, and after 30 days, you can let it expire and there it was. Same with appearing on TV. You can have people see you on TV and maybe you get a few new followers and that could just be the end of whatever it was. But the fact that you took it and you're like, no, this is now an asset. This is now something I'm applying. This is now something I'm going to use to further my mission and my goals and what it is I'm trying to achieve. And that right there is ultimately what a feature, like, you know, I'm looking through some of your print features, whether it's Oxygen or Women's Health, it's to take these things and then apply them because they've become your leverage. It's not the end goal. It's the thing you get that you can then apply to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve, whether it's, you know, increasing sales into your offers or securing brand partnerships or, you know, using it to ascend into a different type of feature. Like, there's so many ways that you can apply it, but you just have to be proactive, not reactive. And the thing I've noticed is in your journey, you've kind of held this, I'm going to be proactive in my goals and not wait for things to happen. Has that always been kind of your default setting, or is that something you had to train yourself to do?
Yeah, again, I think I had to definitely train myself to do it, because for so long I had been just, you know, posting on Instagram and just like being, oh, someone's going to find me and someone's going to find me and discover me and stuff like that. And then I realized, as soon as I realized, like, no one's coming to find you, like, you have to go out for it. That's when I think a lot of stuff just clicked and changed for me. But I think it just took that point of me being like, oh, wow, like, I really have to make sure that I'm taking action to, like you said, get to those goals, these long-term goals. I'm trying to think if there was like a specific moment, like when that happened to me. I'm not sure if there was. I think maybe when like a couple of like bigger things had happened on Instagram, maybe my thing was shared on like Women's Health or something like that. And then I still wasn't getting the inbound stuff that I wanted, is when I realized, you know what, I'm just going to go after it. I'm just going to be the one who's going to show them who I am and to put my face in front of them. So yeah, I definitely think that it definitely came within time, but it took, again, a lot, I think, of me just doing stuff and not seeing the results to finally be like, I obviously need to do something different. I like, if you're doing something right now and it's not working and you're not, you know, getting in front of the faces you want to, or getting where you want to be, there's clearly something else you probably could be doing. So what are you not doing right now that you can change? It's like that saying, if you do the same thing over and over again, it drives, that's the definition of insanity. It's basically that.
So this is, I love this thread right here, because so much of this is having that endurance where you're trying a lot of stuff and there are things that just aren't going to work. And there are things that just require just that extra effort or extra energy that you're investing into it. But so often, and I think this is a struggle for so many, when we're really pressed against it, we may handle it for a few days or a few weeks. But if we're not receiving any signals that something's working, we might, it's not that we're just pivoting, we're just quitting altogether. What tips would you give on how individuals can continue to self-motivate themselves when they're not getting that external validation or approval or backing that they're on the right path?
For sure. Backing they're on the right path. Like I said, it's like, if you keep seeing that whatever you're doing right now is not getting you to where you want to be, I think you need to be proud of yourself, because whatever you, let's say you are doing something, whatever that something is, you're always going to learn from that. You're going to learn that, okay, cool, that isn't working. So you need to be excited for the failure, the things that you're trying, and realize that that is getting you one step closer to whatever you want to achieve. If you're just sitting there and doing nothing, that's obviously a problem. But if you are doing something and it is, like, in your terms, failing or not getting to where you want to, you still need to be proud of yourself. And again, know that it's still getting you one step closer to whatever the right thing is. You have to go through that process in order for you to really learn from it. So if you just kind of reframe the way you think about the rejection, or reframe the way you think about not getting towards what you want to do when you're, again, trying at least something. But if you're not doing anything at all, the motivation for you right now is you need to do something, something.
The example I'll use is, you know, when someone tries to create a good stream of content for their audience, and they'll pump out some content and it's just not getting the engagement. You know, maybe they get a few comments here or there, a few people are liking it, but nothing's really happening. So after about a week, they kind of abandon it and they just assume, well, I don't know, the algorithm's holding me back, or you know, no one's interested in what I have to say. And so I look at your account and I'm going through and there, I mean, just, God, I don't even know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reels. And the further back I go, you know, I mean, there's certainly some outliers, but the further back I go, the more the views decrease, which means that overall your views go up the more you've done this, right? To now, you know, you're averaging a lot more than you were averaging when you first started. And I understand that there are things with outside of our control that impact how much of our audience sees our content. But what I take from that is you started putting out content. You allowed yourself time to A, find your voice and your focus with the content that you're creating, and B, give your audience time to connect the content with you. Because I think that's part of it as well, is they have to know, oh, this is why I follow Angela. This is what I'm going to get from Angela's account. And more often than not, like I was on a coaching call just yesterday, and my client was telling me what their focus was and what their aim was and what their hope was on what they wanted to deliver to their clientele. And I said, well, why am I not seeing any of that in your social media? Like, well, you know, I tried, but you know, people don't really engage with content like that. I'm like, cause they don't, if they don't see you connected with this service, one, they're not going to engage with it. Two, they're never going to hire you for it. So you have to get it in front of them over time and just saturate and entrench yourself with whatever it is you're trying to deliver to your audience, because that is what's going to make that connection. Then over time, people are going to catch up and they're going to start responding and engaging with it. So I think, you know, point to what you were saying, like, that's exactly what you were doing. You committed to doing this until you, one, found your voice, but then also the audience was able to really understand what it was that you were trying to communicate through your content marketing.
Yeah, for sure. And what you just said too is consistency. I mean, if you think about it, I think I looked at my thing the other day. I think I've been on Instagram since like 2006. I don't even know. It's probably more like later than that. I've been doing this for a long time. Like, that took so long of me, again, showing up and just being consistent with showing up every single day and posting something. I honestly don't even give a shit about the numbers anymore. I don't care how many views I get. I don't care how many likes I get. I post because I want to put what I want to post. And I know that the right people are going to see it and they're going to take the value that they need from it. I also realize that, like you were saying before, not everybody is going to see it every time. So I'm never scared to post similar things again. I've actually posted the same exact reel probably 3 or 4 times and probably nobody has noticed. I've literally just put the same thing up there because I know it did well before and I knew it was going to do well again. So I posted it again because they're not going to always see your stuff, just like with your stories too. They're not always going to see your stuff in your story. So I had a client that I was working with too, and she was like, I'm so nervous to put my freebie up on my stories, you know, every day, because then people are going to get sick of it. I was like, no, they're not, because half the people don't see it. Like, they don't see it. So someone new is probably going to see it the next day. So I definitely think, like, just kind of getting away from that mindset of it and constantly showing up for your audience over and over again. Also making sure that, again, people like authenticity and they really like to, they like not just, you know, you posting about your services, which you definitely need to do. They want to feel a bit of you, because the reason people come to you for whatever it is that you provide is because of you. It's because of your, some kind of connection they might feel with you. So really being able to post about your life, be posting about stuff and getting vulnerable with people about the real life things that are happening. That's where I feel like I really took it above and beyond with my page. Cause yes, you'll see the stuff that, you know, I obviously do, which is like teach the pull-ups and, you know, do workouts and all that stuff like that. But I'm also not scared to put on there and tell people that, hey, I've had a bad day. I've been rejected, or this has happened, or, you know, this, you know, a couple month or two ago, my mom was sick. And people like that because they like to see that you are human. Like I said, it really comes down to humanness, isn't it? I feel like with everything, they want to see that. That's how they're going to relate. And then you sprinkle in all the stuff that you're doing and you remind people what you're doing basically weekly. You always want to remind them that, you know, hey, I actually work with people to get their pull-ups, or hey, I actually have this awesome core program. Like, remind them of it in a natural way. I don't think it needs to be as hard as a lot of people are trying to make it.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, another point to your client, if you're worried about someone getting tired of seeing something you're trying to offer them, is that really the person you need to be trying to reach? If someone in your audience is tired of seeing your offer, tired of seeing your lead magnet, tired of seeing what it is you're trying to do, that's the person who's never going to buy from you anyway. You're okay without them, right?
Yes, exactly. But they can go totally fine if they're not there anymore, or they unsubscribe, or they whatever, unsubscribe. That's totally fine. That's I'm not here to get providing value that you want. Like, that's an Amber Alert here in Texas. There's a lot of things. Oh, hold on. It gets a little wild here. Oh, okay, there we go. I feel like that's really important for you to say that as well. I always tell people that with their email list as well, because I get like offended if people unsubscribe. I'm like, let them unsubscribe. Like, that's fine. Like, you don't need to be on the list.
Such a weird thing to be offended by. I don't know. It's an ego thing. We just actually cut out over half of our email list, just because we were looking at them like, a lot of our list isn't opening our emails. So why are we keeping them on this list? Get rid of them, like ditch them, delete them out of our system. So literally what we did, we took anyone that hasn't opened an email in like 3 months and we sent them a message, say, hey, if you want to stay on the list, let us know. If not, that's okay. Like, we'll stop messaging you. And that was it. And we deleted over half the list as a result. So whereas most e-commerce businesses have lists that only open, you know, under 20%, I think the industry average is 18%. By deleting half of our list, we're going to up our open rate to over 75%. Well, it's going to be the right 75%. And that's the point. Like, who is this for? Focus on who this is for. And put your energy towards them. You have permission to ignore who your work is not for. That's okay. Put more time, put more energy, put more effort, put more content, put more emotion into the work of who this is for. And then, you have license to ignore everyone else.
Absolutely. I mean, you can have if you have a quality list, if you have quality followers, the people who, again, are actually there for you, you're going to make more, you're going to be impacting more and all those different things. That's also why actually I talked about this with somebody else in a different podcast. It's also why, like, sometimes maybe you posted a piece of content that like went viral, but it really has nothing to do with like anything that you're doing. So you might get a few people trickling in and it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm getting all these followers, but are those people actually care about some of the stuff that you're talking about? Probably not. So that's why going viral and stuff like that isn't necessarily the best way. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get more incoming. Doesn't necessarily mean that for a brand as well. And brands are finally starting to see that. They're starting to see like, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter how many followers these people have. Because I had somebody who had 100K followers who we posted about a product and literally nobody, it was crickets. Nobody bought it. Mm-hmm. No one even clicked on it, whatever. I had somebody else with 35,000 followers and they literally had so many people in there because they had an engaged audience. They created and cultivated community. They did all these different things on their pages. So I think that people are like sometimes looking at the wrong numbers or the wrong things when they're doing any of their marketing.
Yeah, I think it's just the vanity scorecard. Like, it's the public facing thing. You know, it's like, well, I have to use that metric because there's no other metric, but you know, we can compare bank statements. And I think that's, you know, even that's kind of a fucked up metric because people can determine their own level of success. Like, people should determine what qualifies success and fulfillment to them. And, you know, you choose your metric, but stop this comparison because it's just such a void that you'll never win. you'll never win. There's no victory in that. Yes, great. You got something that goes viral. You won't get any more clients. Oh, great. You got a bunch of followers. They're not converting into clients. You know, whatever the false metric is, like, I would rather people have a smaller audience and go deep with that small audience and create real connections and real engagement and have a true resonance with that audience versus, you know, trying to spread their message so wide that it just thins the message out. And then it's barely a whisper at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I can agree more.
What is your focus now? I mean, obviously your brand has evolved pretty significantly over the last few years. Where are you trying to take things next for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's December right now. So I always actually map out what I did last year and what I wanted to do this year. And my word this year is simplicity. I'm taking a lot of the stuff I'm doing and I'm really simplifying to really ramp things up. It sounds wild, right? You're going to simplify and I'm actually going to have more time to live and have more time to do things with less. So for me right now, my main focus is revamping my pull-up program. I've had my pull-up revolution program since 2018 or something. So I'm actually revamping that, which I'm very, very excited about. I'm focusing on just taking on like a few one-on-one clients. That's it. Like I just take like five and I feel really good about that. I like having just like five. I don't like having like seven or eight or nine. I know what number feels good for me. And then working with a couple different brands and yeah, I mean, again, keeping it very, very simple. One of the big things that will happen probably towards the end of 2023 is I'm writing a book right now about all the stuff that I've been doing. And I'm really excited to share that. But honestly, it's like, I always thought that I wanted like a huge subscription and like thousands of people and all this sorts of stuff. I did that for a couple years and I realized I don't want that. So I'm really excited to keep things very simple. Like just have my pull-up program, just have some coaching clients and just do some brand deals. And that's literally it. Like I've realized what I want my picture perfect life to look like. And it isn't all the chaos of all those things that I have, that I thought I wanted before. So it's actually pretty interesting that it's really changed.
Yeah. I mean, it's focused.
Yeah.
It's focused. And with focus comes just the ability to direct energy appropriately and not waste energy. So I really appreciate that. I love that. Where can the audience go to connect with you and, you know, just stay on top of all the great things you're doing?
Yeah, you can always connect with me at Angela_Gargano on Instagram. And then you can always go to my website, www.angela-gargano.com. On there is literally those programs, the one-on-ones, the brand partnerships, like speaking events, all that stuff like that. You can like book me directly on there. And always send me a message. Like I love when people hear me on a podcast and send me a message and be like, hey, that really resonated with me. Or if you have any questions, like always feel free to reach out to me. Like that's what I'm there for. That's what he's here for. Like I'm here to help. I want to be able to at least give you any kind of feedback or any kind of like glimpse into what you can do in order to help you on your journey, whatever that might be.
Fantastic. We're going to make sure those links are in the show notes. Angela, always a sincere pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me again.
Thank you so much for listening to the Beyond the Image podcast. Please follow, like, and review wherever you happen to listen to the show. And if you want to connect to me, you can find me at jamespatrick.com, Instagram at jpatrickphoto, or you can text me any of your marketing questions to 480-605-3254. Thanks again.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.